This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to welcome back to today's program Dr. Medford Evans. Dr. Evans, who received his Ph.D. at Yale University, has been a longtime professor at a number of leading southern colleges and universities. During World War II, he was chief of security training for the Atomic Energy Commission. He resigned that post to author a book called The Secret War for the A-Bomb. Dr. Evans has been a staff member of the Citizens Councils for the past 2.5 years. And Medford, it's a real pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dick. It's certainly a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Evans, you have recently written an article entitled Mississippi, the Long Hot Summer, which appears in the November issue of American Opinion magazine. Also, I might add, it will be published in an early issue of The Citizen. Obviously, from the title of this article, your story is about Mississippi, but what about Mississippi?
Dick, it is about the invasion, as some people have called it, of Mississippi during this past summer, the summer of 64, by a sort of army, a collection of people who compared themselves to a domestic Peace Corps, and who said they were coming into the state in order to revolutionize the social institutions, of course, particularly the institution of racial segregation, and in order to accomplish other aims of a revolutionary nature, which they boasted of. The most dramatic event of this alleged invasion was, of course, the disappearance of three of the workers on the very day the invasion started near the town of Philadelphia, Mississippi, which eventually was announced as a triple murder. It has not been legally established that that's correct, but that was the charge. And this article is concerned with all the events produced during this summer by an outfit known as the Council of Federated Organizations, or COFO for short, which had two headquarters offices, really, one in Greenwood, Mississippi, and one here in Jackson, Mississippi, under the direction of a man named Robert Moses.
The name itself would imply that COFO is a group of organizations working together on this Mississippi summer project. What are some of the organizations involved in COFO?
The principal one was the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which was the instigator of this idea, but they enlisted the association of the NAACP, of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference of Dr. Martin Luther King, and of the Congress of Racial Equality. These four, all of which are nationwide organizations, formed the Council of Federated Organizations, which acted as, you might say, the theater command for Mississippi, using that term in its military sense.
What was the role of the National Council of Churches in all this?
The National Council of Churches came in as a prime ally. It did not formally amalgamate with COFO, to my knowledge. However, it did work with it, and it set up, for one thing, a training school at Oxford, Ohio, at the Woman's College there. And the National Council contributed heavily financially. It also contributed worker personnel in the so-called administration and faculty of this so-called school. And it started simultaneously a collaborative effort known as the Delta Project, which utilized some of the same personnel and was a related venture, but it is a separate thing. So the National Council of Churches is a very intimate ally of COFO, as far as we can tell, looking at these things from the outside.
The Mississippi Summer Project, as COFO has called it, had a lot of advanced publicity. There were many speeches made, much literature published, giving some of the goals and objectives of the project. Were the main efforts of the project directed along the lines which had been earlier announced, or was there some shift in emphasis after the workers got down to Mississippi?
Well, the goals that they announced were not achieved. The principal goal that they announced was the registration of Negroes to vote. Now, they said in the spring that there were 400,000 Negroes in Mississippi who were eligible to vote, and they were going to come down here and get them all registered, because the only reason they weren't registered was a combination of the chicanery of the regular Mississippi registrars plus the unfortunate lack of education of the Negroes themselves, and they were going to supply the education and get around the chicanery. However, it seems that the inability of the Negroes to qualify for registering to vote in Mississippi was a more serious problem than they thought. For instead of registering any sizable fraction of 400,000, they registered a total of 1,500, which wasn't enough to have any influence whatever on any election statewide in Mississippi.
Dr. Evans, I know you've devoted a great deal of study during the past few months to this summer project. I'd like your frank evaluation. What, if anything, did they succeed in accomplishing in Mississippi?
They accomplished none of their announced aims. The principal one I've just mentioned and said that it failed. Others, they said they were going to conduct an education program. Well, they didn't have anybody that was qualified to teach anything, so naturally not much was learned. There were other matters of social uplift and one thing and another that were pretty much mere verbiage. And yet it would not do to say they did not accomplish anything, for they did accomplish what I consider their principal aim, though they don't admit it, and that is to undermine the basic social fabric of the state. They created divisions between the people of Mississippi. They caused suspicion between certain groups of Negroes and other Negroes. They caused suspicion and mutual animosity between certain groups of white people and other groups of white people. And then, of course, they caused great suspicion and mutual distrust between the white people considered as a unit and the colored considered as a unit. Now, these three kinds of divisive activity, I should say, prepared the ground pretty much as a harrow or a plow might do it for the cultivation of the revolution to come. This is a revolutionary effort that they have in mind, and I should have to say that they did succeed, unfortunately, in readying the ground for revolution. Incidentally, we mustn't think the thing is over. The activity of this general sort will increase just as much as circumstances permit.
Now, Medford, earlier guests on this program who have looked into the situation have expressed the opinion that a great many, in fact, a rather high percentage of the so-called incidents which have been reported in Mississippi during the summer months of this year were actually phonies or inside jobs. Have you formed any conclusions on this point?
I think this is inherently probable. I have not made field investigations of particular cases, but I do know that the people involved in this work, and I've mentioned the name of Carl Braden, have done this sort of thing before. Carl Braden was convicted in Louisville, Kentucky, of being part of a group that planted a bomb under a Negro's house with the intention of having it blamed upon white segregationists when it was members of a communist cell that did it. Now, Carl Braden got off of that because he was convicted under Kentucky sedition law, which was thrown out by the Supreme Court. But nevertheless, the facts remain of record that he did it. Now, he came down here and helped Bob Moses set up this whole thing. It stands to reason that his modus operandi probably wouldn't change through the years. There are other reasons for thinking that very likely there have been deliberate provocations by secret integrationists who intended to blame this upon segregationists. Of course, this could take two forms. There might be, let's say, a COFO agent who would run the risk of getting caught doing this, hoping he didn't, but who, if he were caught, would be recognized as an agent provocateur, as a COFO man who had been secretly trying to bomb or burn a Negro church. You could have a level of deception even deeper than that, for you might have a secret integrationist who had taken the precaution first of infiltrating, let's say, the Ku Klux Klan, and who, if he got caught, would then be classified as a, quote, rabid segregationist, unquote. But who really was not a rabid segregationist at all, but simply one who had managed to deceive sincere segregationists and associated himself with them.
Medford, a lot of people in Mississippi, because of the physical appearance of many of the COFO workers, the fact that many of them resemble, frankly, the beatnik types, have sort of laughed at them and been inclined to laugh them off. Do you feel it's a mistake not to take COFO seriously?
It's a very serious mistake not to take them seriously. A COFO is a well-financed outfit with powerful backing. One of its principal supporters is an organization called the Students for a Democratic Society, which provided money for COFO. This is a descendant of the Intercollegiate Socialist Society, which has had such distinguished members in the past as Walter Lippmann, America's leading political columnist, and former Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter. These are not small fry. These people have access, can tap large sums of money. They are members of the national power structure of what is sometimes called, with a capital E, the establishment.
Dr. Evans, your time has gone by all too quickly. Thank you very much for being with us today. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Dr. Medford Evans, staff consultant to the Citizens Councils of America. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation. Assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.